So you're a tough guy, like you really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
Chapter 12. Jason still wasn't sleeping well, and he was having nightmares almost every night. Sometimes they weren't too bad. It was only after the nights he dreamed about the Joker that he struggled to do anything the next day, holing up in his apartment with a gun in arm's reach. That night, thankfully, he didn't dream about the Joker. But he did dream about the Lazarus Pit, about his body broken despite the weeks that had passed since he clawed himself free of his coffin. About the moment he realized the people who'd found him wouldn't be taking him back to Bruce. About Roz and his cruelty. How the man himself had dragged Jason to the pit and shoved him beneath the liquid. About rising from it, screaming, every cell in his body on fire. Roz had immediately proceeded to educate Jason on his new position and role within the League of Assassins. And with Jason being the strong-willed, loud-mouth he was, that led straight to his first of many beatings as Roz tried to force Jason into obedience. He'd been strung up and whipped because Roz was a 700-year-old psychopath and therefore a fan of the classics. Jason had outlasted the old man's patience by the end of those 2 years. It hadn't been as traumatizing as being murdered by the Joker, but it'd been no picnic, and Jason was still affected by it. He always kept a weapon nearby when he was sleeping, and he often woke abruptly in the middle of the night with said weapon in his hand. Or in the middle of the morning. "Geez, Jason, it's freezing in here," a voice declared, jerking Jason back to consciousness. He was breathing rather heavily, and he had a very large knife in his hand. It only took Jason a moment to realize that voice belonged to Tim, and he was now standing in the sleeping section of Jason's loft. He dropped the knife beside him and pulled his pillow over his head. "Go the fuck away." It'd been 2.5 weeks since Tim found the warehouse, and almost every single night since, he'd popped by and helped Jason keep an eye on things for a while. He'd even gone so far as to alter his previous patrol route to now include Jason's part of town, apparently just until Jason was fully healed. Not that he let that stop him. The Red Hood had already brutally beaten the crap out of a myriad of criminals who'd been using some of the kids to commit crimes in exchange for rather paltry protection. These guys didn't take it too well when the kids suddenly ran off. He took great pleasure in beating them bloody and sending them to the hospital as warning to all the other criminals of Crime Alley to stay the hell away. Jason still had enough of a reputation that the general population was plenty happy to leave the kids alone as long as that meant Red Hood wouldn't come and slaughter them whole. Tim was satisfied with the non-lethal, if still brutal, methods, and things were quickly stabilizing enough that Jason was gearing up to offer his protection to the prostitutes of Crime Alley as well. All in all, things were going pretty well, and Jason would be feeling better about things if he could somehow figure out how the hell to get rid of Tim. It didn't matter how mean he was to the kid, he just didn't go away. Jason had been pretty close to giving up and just accepting Tim's presence on his turf, but now Tim was in his home, and that was just a step too far. "Seriously, Jason, it's almost as cold inside as it is outside. How are you even sleeping?" "I'm not sleeping because you won't go the fuck away," Jason hissed grumpily. And as always, Tim was absolutely unbothered by Jason's irritation. If Tim had a superpower, then ignoring Jason's less than stellar mood was it. And that's what the new insulation is for. "Well, you need to go ahead and have it installed, because it is way too cold in here," Tim declared, Now get up. I brought breakfast. Jason was about to snap again, but the smell of bacon made him pause. He was pretty hungry now that he was awake. He sat up and glared at Tim, who was in full civvies. His expression looked casual, but there was a hint of concern lingering in his gaze, no doubt due to witnessing Jason's fitful sleep. And that just made Jason even more annoyed. What are you doing here? Pancakes, bacon, and eggs are on what passes as your table, Tim said, nodding his head to the wall that separated Jason's sleeping area from his living area. Jason grumbled under his breath and got out of bed, following Tim to the couch. Breakfast was laid out on his fourth-hand coffee table. Jason was already clothed in a sweater, hoodie, sweatpants, and thick socks, so all he had to do was go over and flop down on the couch. He immediately grabbed the coffee and a strip of bacon. Seriously, replacement, didn't I just see you like 6 hours ago? Why are you in my house? Tim gave the place a skeptical look. This is your house? Jason glared. Because some people hadn't spent their lives living in fancy warm houses. Some people had grown up in slums or on the streets or spent years as a slave and slept in a cell. 3 years spent in Wayne Manor and a year on a spaceship didn't just nullify all of that. To Jason, the place was pretty nice, and he was feeling a little defensive. It's a work in progress, okay? Lay off and answer my question. I come bearing news, Jason replied, sitting down and grabbing his own breakfast. I got that formula from Damien and gave it to Dr. Tompkins a few days ago. She has officially decided that it's solely responsible for all the irregularities she found in your blood, which means she's ready to move on to further tests. She's got a full-body MRI scheduled for the day after tomorrow at Gotham Central. Either one of you could have called and told me that, Jason pointed out. Tim shrugged. Yeah, but I decided to drop by instead. Jason gave him a quick once-over and realized something. Holy shit, replacement. You haven't even slept yet, have you? I had WE meetings this morning, Tim replied, unconcerned. I'll get to it eventually. Jason stuffed half a pancake in his mouth and swallowed it down before he replied. You'll get to it now. Go the fuck home and go to sleep. And don't you come anywhere near the warehouse tonight. None of this even concerns you. Sleep does, though. Tim shrugged lightly and continued eating his pancakes in an easy sort of silence. Jason heaved a sigh and decided it was best to just ignore him. A few minutes later, Tim finished eating and stood up. See you tomorrow, he waved, and that was that. Jason stared after him with a frown on his face. He had no idea what Tim's greater goal was in spending this time with Jason, but it was still making him wary. So far, Tim had made no indication that he wanted anything from Jason at all, but his continued presence told him otherwise. He didn't know what to do about it, though. For now, it just seemed he'd have to wait, even if the waiting drove him crazy. Tim was right, though. His place was freezing and getting colder every night. It was early December now, and Jason had gone as far as acquiring a ladder and the power tools he needed, but other than that, he'd made no progress on the insulation. He supposed it was time he did something about that. Jason sighed and stood from his couch. Hopefully it wouldn't be a complete disaster. Dick Grayson was concerned about his younger brother. Not the youngest brother, though Dick was pretty much always concerned about Damien, because, well, Damien was still slightly murderous and rather intense. There wasn't much not to be concerned about where the youngest bird was involved, but Damien wasn't his main concern right now. No, his main concern was Tim. Timothy Drake Wayne was a bit of a strange one, if he was being perfectly honest. But Tim was a wonderful little brother, and Dick was extremely thankful for the stabilizing influence he had been on the family. He didn't have Dick's upbeat or optimistic nature, But he was extremely intelligent and always steady. He kept them calm and on track. Of course, Damien threw a slight wrench into that since he and Tim were constantly at each other's throats. And things had been rough with Tim since Damien became Robin. But he thought things were getting back to normal again. At least they had been. Lately, though, he was barely even around and no one seemed to know what he was up to. So Dick was lying in wait at his apartment, ready to find out. Only it was 11 in the morning and Tim hadn't even gotten back yet. Dick made himself comfortable on Tim's couch and settled in to wait. It wasn't a long wait. 15 minutes after Dick had made himself comfortable in Tim's living room, Tim was walking through the door. "Where on earth have you been?" Dick demanded immediately.
"Patrol, then I had meetings this morning,"
Tim replied, yawning. Dick faltered. Tim didn't ever get enough sleep, and he was clearly exhausted. Maybe it would be better if he just left Tim to sleep. He could bring up Tim's weird behavior later. But then again, maybe this would be the best time to bring it up. Tim would be too tired to deflect effectively, and they could get it over with more quickly. That decided, he got straight to the point. "You've been up to something." Tim looked marginally startled. "What?"
"Up to something," Dick repeated. "You've been weird. You're hardly around the manor or the cave, and I talked to Babs, Cass, and Steph, and none of them seem to know what you've been up to lately. Neither does Damien or Alfred. So come on, Tim. Spill. Where have you been, and what have you been doing?"
"I have so been around," Tim protested. "I saw you yesterday." "Yeah, for like 2 seconds. We passed each other on the way out the cave." Tim looked like he was going to protest more, before he abruptly changed his mind. He went quiet for a moment, obviously thinking through what information to impart to his oldest brother. Dick was patient, letting Tim choose his words. He was surprised when he heard them, though. "I've been planning on bringing you in on this since the beginning. You think I would have thought about what I'm going to say?" he remarked, self-deprecating. "Uh-huh?" Dick blinked. Tim looked at him. "I'm not hiding anything. Well, I am, sort of. But I had no intention of hiding it forever. You need to be in on it, too, but it's complicated," he said, looking tired and a little frustrated. Dick ushered him over to the couch and sat him down. "It's okay, Tim. Just tell me what this is and we'll work it out. It's all gonna be fine," he assured him. Tim rolled his eyes at Dick's light smothering. "It's not bad. It's just complicated and requires careful steps." "Well, tell me," Dick pushed. Tim heaved a sigh before dropping one hell of a bombshell. "Jason is back in Gotham." Dick's brain temporarily short-circuited, and he felt like he'd been punched in the gut. Jason. Dick had very complicated feelings about Jason Todd. On the one hand, there was the boy who'd been his first little brother. Brash, loud, fun-loving, nothing but sharp edges. But loving and protective and fiercely loyal. It'd been rough between them in the beginning. Dick had been furious at Bruce for his own reasons. Then even more furious at Bruce when he found out he'd been replaced by some street punk. And he'd taken that out on Jason just a bit. Then Jason had felt the pressure to live up to Dick, and that, combined with Dick's treatment, had made him resentful. But after a while, they'd warmed up to each other. Dick had taken Jason out on patrol with him, given him advice on how to deal with Bruce when he was acting like an asshole, and endured Jason's teasing about Starfire and Barbara with marginal grace. Dick had liked being an older brother, and he'd liked being an older brother to Jason. He'd been devastated when Jason was killed, and had been much more cautious about becoming close with Tim, and struggled to even walk by Jason's room in the manor. When Jason came back to life, he came back to life wrong, and any joy Dick could feel about seeing his brother again was completely tainted by Jason's hatred and rage. Dick was so glad his brother was alive, but heartbroken because he wanted them dead. He hadn't been able to reconcile all the warring emotions in his head, so it'd been a relief when Jason suddenly vanished from Gotham. Less so when he realized Jason teamed up with his ex-fiance and Roy Harper to form some sort of morally ambivalent outlaw team. But still better than Jason in Gotham, killing criminals and plotting his brother's death. So to hear that he was back in Gotham immediately sent Dick into emergency panic mode. Dick! Tim snapped, bringing him back to the present. Tim, apparently, had been trying to get his attention for a while. Would you listen to me? It's not bad, I swear. Dick glared at his little brother. How can you say that? Jason tried to murder you. Do you know how many criminals he killed when he was here? There were heads in duffel bags. He killed completely without remorse, and it sucked, and now he's back. How is that not bad? It wasn't as simple as that, Tim replied, looking at him seriously. Dick glared. It was exactly as simple as that. Murder is murder, no matter who is committing it and for what reasons. That's our only line, Tim, and Jason obliterated it. It was Lazarus syndrome, Tim declared, making Dick's brain short-circuit a second time. It wasn't Jason. Well, not completely Jason, but it's been almost a year since he killed anyone. I've been around him every day for the past 2 weeks, and I think the Lazarus syndrome has completely worn off. Dick didn't speak for a moment, struggling to take in what Tim was saying. He'd been with Jason. On the one hand, that made Dick feel panicky, because Tim was his little brother too, and Jason almost killed him. But on the other hand, he was still struggling to grasp the fact that Jason had been exposed to the Lazarus pit, which just explained so much. Oh my God. Dick finally whispered faintly, trying desperately not to hope, but failing completely. Tim cracked a small smile, aware of the struggle Dick was going through. It's really okay, Dick. He's been here for weeks, and he's doing good work. There are still some issues, but I've been around him constantly, and he hasn't tried to kill me or anything. He's not going to, either. That wasn't him. Dick had no idea how he'd missed Jason's presence in Gotham for weeks. Well, actually he did know. He'd been pulling Batman duty for Bruce, who'd been busy with League stuff. First, something involving the Green Lantern Corps, and then something involving an intergalactic tyrant who was getting a little too close to Earth for comfort. There'd been a string of murders up on the north end of the city, and Dick and Damian had had their hands full with the investigation, with no attention to spare for Jason's old sector in Crime Alley. But Jason had been taking care of things there, according to Tim. What happened to the outlaws? Dick found himself asking. Are they okay? Is Jason okay? Tim frowned a little, and Dick felt another little flare of panic in his chest. They're taking a sabbatical. They had to recover from an incident with some telepathic planet eaters. I asked Superman about it, and apparently they saved the planet, but it was really rough. The aliens fed on pain and fear and made them relive all the pain and fear they'd ever experienced. So Jason had to go through his death all over again. Dick swore, horrified because Jason's death had been horrific and had already traumatized him enough. Is he okay? Tim frowned a little, looking a bit disgruntled. Jason is stubborn as fuck, he swore, which was a rare enough occurrence that Dick was startled into laughter. He made it out like it was nothing and told me to ask Superman about it as a joke. I don't think he thought I really would. I had no idea how bad it was until Superman told me. Jason acts like it was nothing, but he doesn't sleep much, and when he does, he has nightmares. And he's suspicious as hell and tenses up if anyone is within arm's length of him. Dick felt his heart sink. He did that before, he spoke softly. When he first came to the manor, it took about a year for him to stop, and he only stopped completely for me, Bruce, Babs, and Alfred. Tim frowned. I read Bruce's file on him. It's one thing to know that Jason had a rough childhood, but it's completely different actually seeing the effects of the abuse. Dick rubbed his head and sighed. He never talked about it, only mentioned it in the briefest terms, whenever he could explain something about Crime Alley before Bruce or I could figure it out. Well, he's stubborn, Tim replied, frustrated. I mean, he knows about Lazarus syndrome, but he doesn't think it changes anything about what he did. He doesn't seem to get at all that we want him back in the family. And not only will he not ask for help, but he openly resists it. I mean, he's a Robin. He's one of us. You want him back, don't you? Of course I do, Dick declared fervently. I wanted him back before I knew about the Lazarus syndrome. He abruptly paused as a thought struck him. How was he exposed to the Lazarus pit? Is that where he was before he came back to Gotham? With the League of Assassins? Dick asked, alarmed. Though it would explain how brutally efficient Jason's fighting style had become since he wore the Robin suit. Tim's expression darkened. I don't have all the details, because Jason won't really talk to me about it. What I do know is that Jason woke up in his coffin a year after he died with all the same wounds from his death, but not the slightest bit decayed. He had to dig his way out and was found stumbling a couple miles away from the cemetery. It was Ra's people who found him, and they took him to Ra's when he asked for Bruce. He forced Jason into the pit and kept him as a slave. Dick's horror steadily increased throughout Tim's speech. He couldn't even imagine the horror of waking up in a coffin. Tim continued. He's mentioned Talia a couple of times, and though he hasn't really said, I think Talia got him from Ra's and used the Lazarus syndrome to wind him up and set him loose on me so that Damian could kill you and take his rightful place as Bruce's true son and successor, he remarked, tone full of scorn. Dick swore furiously. I hate that woman, he snarled viciously. She kept Damian and Jason from us. He should have been home. He should have recovered with us. But instead, she used him and twisted him like she did Damian. And I hate her. You and me both, Tim replied honestly. Not to mention, she still wants both of us dead. Anyway, I've just been sort of forcing my presence on Jason for the last few weeks and getting him used to it. Next step was to get you doing it too, and then I figured we could just steadily pull him back into the family. Yes, Dick declared fervently, shooting up from the couch, determination and purpose flooding him. Yes, where is he? Tim smirked, amused, as he rattled off an address in Crime Alley. Go on, Dick. Fix him with hugs. Dick nodded firmly, practically bolting out of Tim's apartment. That was exactly what he was going to do.